And welcome to Liberty on the Air. This may be our last show. Who knows? Whatever it is, we are going to go out with a bang because it's also the end of the year. We're going to talk about Liberty in Review. What were the big Liberty events that happened this year? What were the Liberty events that impacted you? We want to hear from you. As always, the phone number is 617-266-6868. You can send us a message if you're watching our Facebook live stream. We got Matt McLaughlin in the studio who is busily monitoring the Facebook stream.
That's right. So if you've got a message, drop it along, and I'll see if we can get it on the air.
Yeah. Of course, Matt reserves the right to censor anybody who he doesn't know, anybody who maybe asks inappropriate questions.
Although I'm a censor, and I also pick favorites.
Yes. So, exactly.
Flattery will get you most places.
And I want to point out that we have a rock star in the booth today producing the show, John Gasbo. John, thanks so much for our last show. So it was a pretty epic year for Liberty. A lot of things happened. Obviously, there's the inauguration. There's all sorts of things that happened in terms of digital currency. There's the net neutrality conversations. But probably the biggest Liberty event of the year is that we started a radio show. We started a Liberty radio show in Boston, Massachusetts, which a lot of people will say, oh, Dan, why would you start in Boston? I mean, Boston, it's super Democrat. But you know what? Boston is not super Democratic. Boston is the home of the Sons of Liberty. And our show was pretty well received here. And, we had a lot of highlights through the year.
Is well received. Let's.
Yeah, exactly. Is well received here. Yeah. It's 100% right. Right. Because, aside from our listeners, right? At one point in time, we got some numbers from Nielsen. We did a 3.2 share. Had about 5,000 listeners on the air. Got some pretty regular callers. Skippy, if you're out there, we want to hear from you today.
Also, Skippy, if you're just listening, Happy New Year.
And Scott, please call in as well.
Hope you're doing well, Scott.
Yep. Those things being said, I want to go over a little synopsis of our highlights from the year.
The vast majority of people who die from heroin and opium have also drank alcohol and smoked marijuana.
They've also drank milk, right? Try a warm glass of milk. Especially this time of night, it works pretty good.
Now, you know what you're doing now?
Yeah, so, we hit up a couple.
So that's a teaser on the best of.
That's a teaser on the best of. We're going to talk through a couple other points about that. But some of the first guests we had on there, right, we had Jeff Deal running for Senate as a Republican against Elizabeth Warren. There's a few other serious candidates in the race, but Jeff certainly seems to be in the lead right now. We had Shiva Ayyavadraya, who was running as a Republican, is now running as an independent. Shiva certainly had a lot of interesting things to say, including the idea that he suggested that the government, the post office, could take over email and be the email provider for everybody else, which I assume would mean that they don't come on Sunday anymore. But
yeah, that would be
That was a pretty shocking idea. And one of the interesting things about having Liberty conversations is that you never know where they're going to take you, because Ayyavadraya came in and we sort of thought he was going to be a pretty Liberty candidate. But when you talk about having the post office take over email,
which I don't understand at all, like, how is the post office supposed to service that or make money off it? Or
yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's, well, so it's interesting because we had actually had the post office in the news today, or the news this week. Trump complained that the post office is not charging Amazon enough for delivering its packages. To get a little ADHD on the audience. But it's an interesting thing because, first of all, Trump could care less what the post office is charging Amazon. Trump hates Jeff Bezos because Jeff Bezos owns the Washington Post. The Washington Post has been very critical, and especially covering the Russia investigation. So Trump's stuff driving against—
I'm not sure critical is the right word there. Negative, yes. But well, critical in their analysis, probably not.
No, I think that they've been very good. I mean, their tagline, democracy dies in darkness, they're really covering stuff. The Times is what it is. The Times has always been the liberal newspaper of record. But the Post has always been the conservative newspaper.
I may be mixing up my Washington newspapers. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you might be thinking of the Examiner or the Washington Times, both of which are essentially tabloids. However, the interesting thing about the Washington Post and their criticism and how this all ties back in to Trump's criticism of the post office not charging Amazon enough money is that, first of all, I think he thought that his tweeting that would cause Amazon stock to plummet, which it didn't. Secondly, I think that it shows sort of a basic failure of the understanding of the economics around internet business and economy of scale. So Amazon absolutely demands a discounted shipping rate from their shippers because they say, look, you know, you're going to come to our place and pick up 10,000 packages. Okay. You're sending one truck. You shouldn't charge us the same for all 10,000 as if you were just picking up one package because, you know, we're going to pay you a lot of money for it. We want a little bit of discount for what we're paying. And that seems reasonable.
It seems reasonable.
Businesses can negotiate things like that.
Yeah.
That's part of what businesses did. In fact, the United States Postal Service did negotiate that because they wanted that Amazon contract because it's prestigious, right? When you see the post office.
It's also business.
It's also business. Exactly right.
Not many people seem to use the USPS.
Right. Exactly. Oh, but they're getting into it right now. Now they're more competitive in the package industry than they ever have been. And the post office has got a lot of things going wrong for it. Okay. One of them, some of them required by the Constitution, some of them not required by the Constitution. They are required by the Constitution to maintain post offices and post roads. They are absolutely not required to deliver door to door. So that is an issue that I think the post office could look at it and say, you know what? Maybe in Alaska, we're going to have 100 post offices and we're going to deliver the mail to there and we will contract out to whoever wants to be the local letter carrier. We don't have to, you know, say that we're going to do a daily delivery to every house in Alaska because it's just not practical. In some other places, you can make the argument that snail mail doesn't have to be delivered in a timely fashion. It doesn't have to be delivered every day. If the post office could save some money by delivering every other day, why not? That's up to them. Those things, those are adjustments they can make. For Trump to say that the problem with the post office is that they're not charging Amazon this contract that was incredibly lucrative for them enough money, that was just sort of a crazy thing.
It is a bit ridiculous, but I, you know, hey, if they can make the, you know, boost the post office's stature or whatever, like get another penny a package or whatever, then, you know, I mean, I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, I mean, the post office.
But you're probably, I mean, your basic point is, yeah, if he was doing this, I didn't follow the story like, yeah, incredibly closely, but if he was doing it to try to knock Amazon stock prices, then.
Yeah,
that's stupid.
It's a silly thing, especially because, you know what? He's a great businessman, right? I will say that, you know, unapologetically. There are things that he has done. I may disagree with them, but he has certainly at times used his influence to make a tremendous amount of money and to make some businesses profitable. Do that for the post office, right? I mean, why not? It's an incredible opportunity that's there. You know who's on the line? Our pal, Skippy.
Skippy,
we
happy
are so
new year,
happy to
friend.
Hear from you. Happy New Year, brother.
Happy New Year. First of all, I want to talk about, but I thought the biggest attack on freedom was this year. But before I say that, first, I want to wish you and everybody there, the crew, a happy New Year.
Thank you very much.
And also, too, if I could, Scott, who's had, I don't agree with, he's held some real extreme opinions, but based on what I've heard, a couple of weeks ago, he's going through a lot with the loss of his parents, and I wish him the best for 2018 as well.
Here, here. Very heartfelt.
But now, the point is, the attack on freedom, I think, was really, really made me think more in libertarian terms, which I haven't started thinking libertarian. I said, what's that, like a vegetarian? I said, no, I learned it by hearing you guys over the last several months, and the attack on freedom, I think, was in Boston Common. It was like this, after Charlottesville, and these politicians got caught up in a whirlwind of baloney and crap and false information, and they labeled those freedom of speech people of Boston Common, who had held other freedom of speech rallies there, nothing came out of it, as being Nazis and KKK, to the point where they brought in thousands of people, and they, which were riotous,
yep.
and everything just was smoothed over, so it wasn't a love fest, everything was nice, it was an attack on freedom. People had to be drawn, otherwise it would have been drawn and quarantined. wanted by these people. They had to be taken out by police wagons.
You know, it's a fascinating thing. Friend of the show, Brandon Navam, was fired from his job because he was one of the original speakers. He actually has since filed a $1 million lawsuit against Marty Walsh, saying that when Marty Walsh said that all the speakers were white supremacists, that he was defamed and libeled. I don't think he's going to win that lawsuit, but it's an interesting point that he was going up there and, you know, another speaker, Sam Rachapi, who's running for Congress in the 6th District, running against Seth Moulton. Sam went up there specifically to say, I'm here to say that Black lives do matter. I'm here to say that, you know, white supremacists have the wrong idea. He was going up there specifically to counter the white supremacist messages.
So someone was going up at a free speech rally to
exercise free speech.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I always found it interesting in that moment that when that was happening that there was I had a question for Skippy. Oh, Skippy.
Oh, sorry.
No, I just wanted to know, Skippy, if you were going to go with the L Street Brownies on Monday, if you were going to be out there.
All right.
But
No, it's canceled.
Is it it's the hardcore guys are going to be there?
Everybody, we're talking about you know the ocean plunges that people do on New Year's Day.
The L Street Brownies and the L Street Bathhouse in South Boston. They go
every year. New Year's Day. As far as I know,
some of them go every day. To be honest,
everyone has canceled this year except for in Gloucester for the Frades Foundation. Pete Frades,
Yep.
Yeah. Exactly.
A fellow Boston College Eagle.
Fellow Boston College Eagle. His family lives in Beverly. You know, I've had the great good fortune to be around a lot of people associated with this. And it's just, I mean, it's one of the places that it's such an amazing story. The difference that that money made in ALS research. It's one of the few times that you can actually say, look, they had a fundraiser and everything got better, which is amazing. And, you know, my friend Joe Orlando, friend of the show, played with Pete. Played baseball and they, you know, you see the change that's happening as a result of some people acting on their own, no government intervention, just getting out there and making a difference. It's impressive.
Much of that money, my understanding is so much of the money actually went and that actually did make some, make a difference.
Yeah. Skippy, thanks for calling back in.
Skippy,
I'm sorry
you're back.
We dropped you. I kind of waved and, the wrong way. We dropped you off. Are you going in with the brownies?
I'm going there. I'm bringing a cooler.
Outstanding.
What time, Skippy?
I'm gonna be there. Hey, I'm gonna get the front row seat. I'm gonna be one of those guys waiting outside all night because it's not that cold, and you got to have a cooler because if you're gonna do it, if they don't show up, they're wusses.
It's not that cold. That rarely is that said about single digit temperatures.
Yeah. Well,
no. Hey, it's the only chance. It's gonna be so cold. I'll be able to copy Jesus. I'll be able to walk in the water.
Well, at that point in time, you know, if you're not a Democrat and you end up walking on the water, you know what they say about you in the globe.
What?
They say you can't swim.
Very good.
That's the way it goes. Skippy, have a happy New Year. Thanks so much for calling back in.
Skippy, happy New Year. Hope to see you around the neighborhood.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
So what I was going to say about Marty Walsh and what Skippy brought up with the free speech rally is I remember seeing a quote from Marty Walsh saying, we're not sure if we'll get them we'll give them a permit, which was just amazing to me with the concept of on the Boston Common, which was sort of built and devised for the public good and for grazing for cows, which I believe you can still do if anyone in the city still has cows.
Yep.
Was that someone is going, hey, let's get a group of people and just celebrate free speech and all its stuff. And the government says, you know what? Maybe we won't allow you to do that, which is exactly why we need free speech.
Yeah, there's no question about that. It's interesting because, so on a personal note, I didn't want to go because one of these speakers who was invited in the beginning, Augustus Invictus, very controversial. In my opinion, he's a man who uses hate speech, advocates for racial supremacy, dividing the races. I didn't want to be associated with that. I didn't want to lend my notoriety to help to bring an audience to hear what he said. Even though I wouldn't have agreed with what he was going to say, I didn't feel like I was going to use my celebrity to do that. On the other hand, whatever celebrity I have. On the other hand, you know, the people who did want to go down there and be speakers to counter that, I can't say that they did anything wrong.
But you also exercised free speech by not going.
Exactly right.
You exercised freedom and choice.
Right. Right. Now, there's an interesting question.
Also, I didn't go either.
There is an interesting question. You know, I don't believe that the alt-right, and let's talk about Charlottesville. Let's talk about that rally, because that's probably one of the big liberty stories as well. Right there, tremendous amount of hate speech. And, you know, to say that the two rallies aren't linked, they certainly were at one point in time linked. Now, the people who run the Boston rally will tell you, oh, you know, after Charlottesville, you know, went bad, we wanted to make clear that we're not linked with them. But there was a point in time at which there was linkage. And there actually had been an earlier free speech rally. And I'll put free speech in quotes around this side of it, because all the speakers who came to the first one were hardline right wingers. And several people advocated, I don't think Richard Spencer was there, but Augustus Invictus was there. And, you know, they tried to invite Richard Spencer, head of the American Nazi Party, for the second rally. They didn't get him. I'm not sure why. But, you know,
he must be just very busy with all of his bookings.
Sure, exactly. Right. Double pun intended there. I like it. It's an interesting question. It's clear. If you say, do people have a right to speak? Absolutely. My very first press appearance in 2012, I talked about a significant liberty event for me was when the Nazis were allowed to march in Skokie, Illinois. Of course. I mean, I hate Nazis. The Blues Brothers even mentioned it in their movie. You know, I hate Illinois Nazis. But there is a...
But only those ones specifically?
Well, they were marching. Exactly. But the strange thing about it is that when you talk about free speech, okay, everybody's in favor of you having the right to say whatever you want. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you should have the right to make me listen. It doesn't mean that you should have the right to be able to, we have some limits on speech, right? Can't yell fire in a theater.
But nobody really cares if you yell theater at a crowded fire.
That's true. However, but they do care if you were to act out some theater at a fire. Like, you know, if you start doing the mime thing when the firemen are trying to get past you, that's just, you're in the way.
Yeah, I guess it's what a lot of, you know, lawyers and, you know, thinkers talk about, you know, a reasonable man sort of thing. Like there are reasonable restrictions on just about anything and everything, right? I mean, there's no
– Right.
I mean, I think we can all sort of agree that there is at least a possibility of that.
Sure. You know? But when speakers come, and white supremacist speakers, and let's – you know, I'll say that a lot of the people who came weren't white supremacists. But there were people who were invited who were white supremacists, and they're saying things like, you know, we believe that the races shouldn't be mixed. We believe that, there should be separation between the races at schools, stuff like that.
To be fair, though, has been said recently on campuses from African Americans. They want their own dorms. I mean, I'm not saying they agree with it's not the exact same. Well,
it's
similar.
It's an interesting question, because so when I ran against
and to be clear, I don't think what they're saying is hate speech. The African Americans saying they should have their own private dorm, but it's funny that these things.
Well, right, and a great example of
the Venn diagram crosses over.
2012 congressional opponent Richard Desai, who's a Republican but also an out gay man, said he had more hate speech directed against him as a Republican in Massachusetts than he ever did as an out gay man. We got Stephen on the phone, who thinks there is no such thing as hate speech. Stephen, what do you got for us?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen.
Thanks for calling.
The problem is that there is no such thing as hate speech. There's only speech, and there's speech you agree with, there's speech that you disagree with, but there is no such thing as hate speech. You might not like it. You might think that it is hate-filled. But to define it as hate speech puts it in a separate category, and that's not what we do in America.
Well, the reason some speech, right? Like if I say, I'm going to kill you, right? That's the definition of assault. If I say to you, I'm going to kill you.
Hold on. If you say, I'm going to kill you, that's a threat to commit a crime. That's a difference. You placed me in fear and you could be charged for that. That's different. That's a crime. We've defined it as a crime. It's in the statute that way.
So there's some speech that is criminal.
No. Well, yes, when you threaten or cause someone to then go, if you say, punch that guy in the face, that could be a crime if he then goes out and does it.
Right.
But that doesn't make it hate speech. You're talking about people coming and expressing views. They're not telling a group to go out and kill people. They're not telling a group to do anything to anyone. They're expressing their beliefs. And we've decided, you just said, you don't think a group of black students who want to segregate is the same as a group of white people who want to segregate. Well, that's a, you've placed value on those opinions because that's your opinion. Your opinion is, well, the black students mean it differently than the white students. But that's not how we value speech in this country. It never has been. All speech is free speech. You just agree with it or don't agree with it. The problem with what has happened from the left and the progressives is they believe that speech is violence, which authorizes them to fight that violence with violence, that perceived violence.
So if there's a threat, you know, for example, let's say that, you know, one of the things that white supremacists argue about is that there shouldn't be mixing of the races. And so they want to have white schools and black schools. Okay. Is it fair for somebody to say, you know what? That is a threat. I mean, that is essentially saying that, you know, you're going to try to close down.
How would that be considered an actual threat unless that person had some political power or advocated a legislative statute or took to the streets with pitchforks and torches? You would stand up in a crowd and say, that's a ridiculous opinion and here is why. Here's how I will fight that opinion. I'll do with ideas in my own speech. What you don't do is say that this person is a violent person and his speech needs to be shut down by protests and rioting and what they did in Berkeley. And therein lies the problem. By allowing them to behave that way and to translate that speech into quote unquote perceived violence, you authorize them to use violence to defend themselves, quote unquote.
Therein
lies the problem.
I agree with some of that what you're saying, Steve. And I think what, you know, to say something against Dan,
look at what Alan Dershowitz has said on these topics. He says the same thing about this Russia probe, this criminalization of politics.
Sure.
He said this is very dangerous, and we're progressing down what I call this, you know, progressive liberal slope to allowing these things to occur. And no one stands up intellectually and says, you can't do this.
You know, it's
very dangerous.
I would say that I definitely agree with you that there is certain levels of speech that we definitely want to make sure are always protected. And thank you very much for the call, Stephen.
Yeah, so thanks, Stephen. Happy New Year.
Yeah, and we also agree that even a lot of super heinous things have to be said. Okay, and we have to allow people to say them. You know, Ron Paul famously said, we don't have freedom of speech so we can talk about the weather. We have freedom of speech so that we can say very controversial things. Now, when we say those very controversial things to each other, that is absolutely protected speech. As we talked about, you can't threaten somebody else. That's a crime. You can't tell somebody that at some point in the future you're going to kill them. That's still a crime. However, you also are under no obligation to support somebody else's free speech. Everybody has a guaranteed right to free speech, but if there's a white supremacist rally, they have a right to free speech. I don't have to go down there. I don't have to support it. Me not going doesn't say that I'm against free speech. It says that I'm against white supremacists. And that's a different thing. And so perhaps what the biggest thing that we learned out of these two rallies, right? And supposedly there's a third one coming up some point in time, is that people are going to say what they want to say. People are going to hear what they want to hear. But when people come up and they actually have something to say, something to listen to, let them say it. We're not going to stop anybody from saying it. But you have the right to not support them by not going there and listening. So, we're talking about free speech. When is free speech not free speech? And I think that we have to say that Charlottesville, the rally in Boston, that probably was the biggest liberty event of the year. But there's some other stuff. And, you know, again, I'm biased. I'm going to talk about our show a little bit. So we tried to play you a little clip of highlights earlier in the show.
It was a teaser.
It was a teaser, right?
The biz term for it.
That's me becoming a radio professional. I am now teasing future events.
Only took 28 and a half shows.
Exactly. Right. I have
27 and a half.
I have high hopes for where I'm going to be in like 20 minutes from now. Yeah. That being said, Let's hear our year in review.
The vast majority of people who die from heroin and opium have also drank alcohol and smoked marijuana.
They've also drank milk, right? Try a warm glass of milk, especially this time of night. It works pretty good.
Now, you know what you're doing now?
The Postal Service could mediate that with the body of law. Then.
Right.
Okay.
Although I think WiMAX is, I mean, isn't WiMAX dead? You were the co-chair for the Trump campaign. Do you think that the president would come out at some point in time and endorse you, campaign with you?
Certainly. I mean, who wouldn't want to have the support of the president of the United States? And that's why I backed him. I mean, the guy really stood for a lot of the things that I've been working on up on Beacon Hill.
I threw my body down. I shielded this man. And then all of a sudden, people surrounded me and started to shield me. And it was like a wave of peace from that one action that I did.
Joining the military is un-American because the founders of this country thought that we would be better off without a standing army, and they were right.
Can I ask you a question? If you get it right, we'll send you a Bitcoin.
I don't even know what that is, so I was telling Will I'm not interested in it.
If I say save the whales, I'm not saying the heck with all the other fish. I'm recognizing the fact that there are people out there hunting whales.
Whales aren't fish, Dan.
Hamas has stated in their charter the destruction of the state of Israel.
That's right. And the way they do it sometimes is by making sure that the communities are fed and can actually go to work.
Right.
So, you know, nothing is simple.
But they also call for killing them all.
That is true.
I actually agree with you that I do think that churches should not be tax exempt. I don't think anybody should be tax exempt.
I think everyone should be tax exempt is my point.
You're 100% right. That's where I really like it to go, is that we're all 100% tax exempt. They do drive the car around when they do the inspection.
No, they don't.
Yeah, no, totally they do.
They definitely do not. Absolutely not.
What?
I usually, your dealer's taking your car.
What's going on with my car?
You got a little Ferris Bueller situation going on there.
You can't be having like nuclear centrifuges. And we're going to go in and check them. And Iran was like, no, we'll check them and tell you we don't have them.
Let's go to another Dan. Happy birthday, Dan. How you doing?
I am doing well. I love the fact that I have to be on hold to get on a show that I'm normally on otherwise.
Each town set their own time. Like noon was when the sun was highest, and it didn't matter because when you traveled, but because of trains, where you had to go, well, the math problems you took in junior high, like when a train left New York, it had to be, when it was in Chicago, you had to know the time, so people had to be like, oh, this is the time that I need to go to be on that train.
Right.
So, but now no one uses trains, so maybe we don't need clocks anymore.
Voting is not about qualification at all. People don't vote on what is true. They vote on what they feel is true.
This is the Liberty moment. Liberty is resonating. And when we go out and we talk and we speak to people, we see that they are understanding that there is a change in the dynamics. Politics is not a number line. It's not right and left. There's a third direction, a third dimension, and that is up. And up is the direction of personal liberty.
Well, that's inspiring. Now, I want to do 28 more episodes. So, you know, a couple things that leapt out at me there. First one was, let's talk about how prescient we were. Well, that was not prescient. But, you know, we did a show on Randall Lord, who sadly is currently in jail for selling Bitcoin. Those of you who don't remember, check out Liberty on the Air, Podomatic. All our back episodes are there, or at www.libertyontheair.com. Episode 7, convicted of selling Bitcoin, Randall Lord was essentially trying to tell people how awesome Bitcoin was. This is back when Bitcoin was really cheap, and saying, look, if you want some Bitcoin, I will buy them for you online. I will print out the number, which is, you know, you can have a physical receipt of your Bitcoin and then nobody else can use it. Give it to them. And he tried to see whether or not what he was doing was illegal. Nobody could tell him if it was legal or not. He tried to follow the law. Years later, they said, oh, yeah, no, that's illegal. And they threw him in jail. And a sad thing. But one of the other interesting things about that is that we gave out some Bitcoin. We had a little trivia contest, and a caller named JJ won 1/100th of a Bitcoin.
Yeah, I was going to say, he didn't give away a whole Bitcoin.
Well, if 100 people had called in, I might have. But I probably would have made the questions a lot harder, too, as we went along. However, you know, that I was talking to JJ about it the other day, and that 1/100th of the Bitcoin, which I gave him at the time, which was worth $25, is now worth, well, at the time it was worth $180, which is pretty awesome, right? I mean, maybe you win $180 for, I believe the question we asked was, which amendment was women's suffrage? And he got it, it was 19th Amendment. That's a
so what you're
point.
Saying is if the listeners call in and demand of the show stay on the air. And,
well, it's interesting. It's interesting. You know,
they could win money.
Yeah. Well, sure. I mean, I would be happy to go back to giving out because one of the nice things about that, I mean, it's a perfect example, right? Normally when, so we're not an official show of this station of WRKO. So in our contract, it says that when we give out cash prizes, we have to handle all that ourselves. That's what's awesome about digital currency, right? I sent, JJ an email saying, what's your address? He sent me his wallet address. I transferred, you know, 1/10 or 1/100 of a Bitcoin in there. Boom. Easy cheesy. Nothing involved in it at all. And that's awesome. There's a great article that, Krugman wrote, and I'm going to get the quote wrong here, but essentially he was quoting somebody else who's saying Bitcoin is essentially a direct attack on national banks. It's meant to allow people to conduct financial transactions with no records so the banks and the governments aren't able to see what happens. And he said that like it was a bad thing. But to me, that's a great thing. Your whole point of your liberty is tied up in your privacy. I mean, certainly we don't think the government ought to be able to know who you take to bed. The government shouldn't be able to know what you do with your free time. Why does the government have a right to know how you spend your money?
So they know how to tax it and how much they can take, right?
Well, that's essentially it. And the idea is that they can track some crimes by tracking the finances, follow the money, right?
Oh, yeah.
The follow thing about it. But, you know, the police could solve a tremendous amount of crimes if they didn't have to have these pesky warrants, if they could just install listening devices on us all the time.
Didn't Apple already do that?
Well, certainly, you know, there's an argument.
Facebook?
Facebook, Apple, Facebook. Let's not exclude Google.
Oh, of course not.
And these
oh,
things,
Lord.
All these, you know, your phone.
Their motto was do no evil, which just makes me think their whole point is to do evil.
Well, I think the opposite of do no evil is to do all evil.
Yeah.
So that's where they are. But, no, I mean, look. There's always a trade-off between convenience and security. And if you want a super secure world, you can have it, but it's not going to be very convenient. On the other hand, if you want a lot of convenience in terms of being able to, like, for example, for me being able to tell my phone, Amazon, order me dishwashing detergent, and it knows what it's supposed to do. That's really convenient for me. I like it. Does it mean that Amazon also has a recorder on that sometimes hear me saying things that would probably compromise my candidacy? Well, I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, that is definitely true. But there's also the problem with, I don't think the gatekeepers on that stuff, the Googles, the Facebooks, the Amazons, the Apples, I don't think they really care lick one about your privacy, which is different. Like they just, I don't think they even see it as a problem that privacy, which means they're not even securing it possibly on their end.
Well, but we just saw Apple go to bat in a big way, right? In terms of refusing to not decrypt the San Bernardino terrorists' telephone.
Yeah, what I mean by not caring about your privacy is I don't think with all of the listening they're doing, I don't think they even understand that that's an issue. Right. I don't think they understand that they don't possibly, I think they just look at it going, we get a bunch of information and we can point ads at you and we can,
right,
you know, disrupt stuff. And it's not even like they're,
they think it's making it better by giving you ads that you want to see based on the things that you talk about.
Which to some extent is, you know, I mean, advertising is a real thing. We need it because otherwise right. You may not know about certain products or certain,
sure.
You know, things that you would actually enjoy. But I don't think that the big tech companies, I don't think they give a lick or even think about the privacy. I mean, it's almost, you know, it's.
I think that they think about it from a commercial standpoint in that when it comes out that you've had a big data breach, right, and you start losing information. I mean, I don't know that it necessarily hurt.
I'm not even going to go that far, Dan. I don't think these guys care that they're listening into all of your conversation.
They don't.
I think it was one of the guys, I mean, I could be getting it wrong. One of the big guys was just like, well, if you don't want to be caught doing something weird, then don't do something weird. Like it was a, I mean, no, I'm paraphrasing, yeah. but I might have been.
No, one that's of a terrible people. Phrase. That, because, I mean, everybody would agree that that's wrong because everybody does
but that's
something.
What one of those, that's what is these guys have said.
So maybe, yeah, I mean, I can't see an engineer saying that just because the nature of engineers were freaky deaky guys. But I do think that the idea that they don't care. You're right. They don't care that they're recording everything. They're not necessarily thinking about the consequences of it, but they're probably not, just from a commercial standpoint, they're probably not recording everything that you say and storing it, just because of the size and the space constraints. I think that they're doing, I mean, I don't know.
Does that make it okay? So what if the federal government only just listened in and didn't record everything you said?
Well, it's exactly that. I mean, I think that they're doing, you know, metadata analysis on it and storing the data that they
But would it be okay if the government did that?
It wouldn't be okay if the government did it.
If the government just listened in.
But you are.
What if a private company, what if Facebook just said, you know what, U.S. government, we'll just, you know what, because we're a private company, and in our terms and conditions, we said we might let people in on this. We'll let you listen in on every conversation because we have Alexas and Google Homes. Yeah. We'll just do that.
Yeah.
We won't really tell anybody.
There's no question about it. And I would argue that that's probably legal. I don't think.
But would you be happy with it? Would you be upset at those companies?
I would be upset. And I think that at that point in time, and I think
so upset that you'd want
to not use Facebook, let's not be crazy. No, I wouldn't make a law, but I would go to a different provider. So for example, I don't use SMS anymore. I just don't have any faith that SMS is secure. And so I use a different product. I do use Facebook. I do use Google search. There are occasions, not occasions, I use a VPN for my home security. I'll give a quick plug to .VPN. It's $4 a month. You're crazy to not sign up for it. Encrypt all your traffic. It's a really good idea. Now, does that put me on a list? It probably does. But, you know, you're going to be on a list no matter what. I would rather – it's always a balancing act. And the best you can do at that point in time is be informed. I feel pretty informed about what's going on. I don't think that everybody is, but people are talking about it, talking about the fact that if you don't know what the product is, you are the product.
Oh, yeah.
And so not only everything that they collect in terms of advertising data, you know, is potentially of interest to the government as well. Now, I'll give you a quick example, though. In Massachusetts recently, the police, the state police and some other local districts were using license plate scanners on the police cars. All the police cars that have the new thin lights on the top of them have a camera in them that just records every license plate as the cops are driving up and down the street, and it geotags them. So it says ABC123 was at, you know, East 4th Street on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Another one, you know, another address. So they have this giant database of where every car is. Doesn't mean anything, right? Except that one day when they want to look out and they say, well, where was this guy on this day? They can look up and they can at least find out where your car was if it was recorded at one point in time. So the ACLU sued over this. That was deemed illegal. And so the police stopped doing it. And about 6 months ago, I mentioned this on the air when it happened, I was approached by a private company that wants to do exactly the same thing. And, you know, they're going to use the information for driving purposes, but they're going to use public records and say, okay, this car, this license plate leaves here at 6 o'clock, shows up here at 9 o'clock. You know, maybe we can target some ads towards them, either some, billboard ads. The billboards are more creative than ever. Imagine driving down the road and seeing a sign that says, hey, Matt, time for you to renew your subscription to Time Magazine or something like that. Yeah. It's a little freaky, but
it's minority report-esque.
Obviously. Minority report-esque. But then could they then sell that information to the to the police?
They could also just give it to them.
Right. Because certainly, right, when a crime happens, the first thing that the police do is they look for video cameras in the area and they say, yeah. Oh, what's around here? So we know there's a lot of liberty issues coming up. 2018 is going to be a banner year for liberty. There are several good Liberty candidates running. One of them we had on a show, Larry Sharp, is running for governor of New York. And I encourage everybody to learn what they can about him. One of them, I'm proud to say, is me. I am stepping up. I'm going to run for auditor in the state of Massachusetts. And I got an endorsement that I'm a little proud of. So you can listen to it.
Hi, I'm Gary Johnson, former governor of New Mexico for 2 terms and also Libertarian candidate for president in 2012 and 2016. Massachusetts voters, you've got a real opportunity here to elect somebody who can make a big difference. That would be Dan Fishman, who is running for state auditor. Do you want a Republican auditing Republicans? You want a Democrat auditing Democrats? No, I think you want a Libertarian outside of both political parties. I know Dan personally. Great guy. Give him your consideration. If you do, I think you'll vote for him.
And so that's my pitch. That's Governor Gary Johnson, who was the 2016 Libertarian candidate for president, endorsing my campaign. And I tell you, I picked the auditor race for a very specific reason. Politics is broken right now. If you're a Republican, you don't trust the Democrats. If you're a Democrat, you don't trust the Republicans. If you're an independent, you don't trust government at all because you feel like the Republicans and the Democrats are just taking turns being in charge and doing whatever they can get away with to benefit themselves. If we want to change that, we have to change it at a very simple level. An auditor is, in my opinion, an easy place to start. The auditor doesn't really have any political power. The auditor only has the ability to force all the government agencies to respond to an audit. That's not political, right? The idea that you should know, you as a taxpayer should know how your money is being spent. Is that political?
You're trying to say the government should be transparent?
I am. And this is where I think I personally can bring something to the office. I am a technologist by trade. I have a weird little background. You can look up my patents. I've always worked in the idea of bringing information and putting it online. So why shouldn't all the books of all the government agencies be online all the time?
Because then we could see what they're spending our money on?
Well, not just we could see what spending our money on, but this is going to sound like a crazy self-serving thing to say, but Boston media is pretty good. Okay, we have some excellent reporters here. I think of some of the investigative, let's think of the Spotlight team, right? The amazing reporting they've done. Think of some of the stuff that people in the Herald have dug up. If they had access to how all the money is being spent, that would be amazing because they would be in there, teams of researchers. All the people with axes to grind, we talked, I think like show 4, about how I personally prefer the fact that the media has a bias, right? The fact that there's a right-wing bias media means that they cover stories about the left that nobody else is covering. The fact that there's a left-wing bias media means they're covering stories about the right-wing that nobody else is covering.
But it also means no one listens to either side.
Or, yes, you're right, and that's sad, because what we need to do is find a way to have people who are independent representing an idea that our country is built on the idea. You know, President Obama said this in a speech. We're not supposed to be red states and blue states. We're supposed to be the United States. And the simplest way to get back to that is in the auditor's office. Elect somebody whose sole job is to be a referee. And the referee shouldn't be wearing a jersey of one of the teams. That makes sense to everybody. Why would you elect a Democrat to auditor, to audit the Democratic State House? Why would you elect a Republican to auditor, to audit Republican governor? It doesn't make any sense. And the current auditor has settled a lawsuit where she was accused by her assistant, who she fired, of using the office for political purposes. And in fact, right now, the auditor is criticizing Charlie Baker over the actions of the DCF, Department of Children and Family, for a two-year period. During that two-year period, Deval Patrick was governor more than Charlie Baker was.
Couldn't she have done something about...
Well, no. The auditor doesn't have any power.
Well, I mean, like, couldn't she have audited it instead of just...
She did. So this is what her audit revealed, and then she used the results of her audit to blame the Baker administration for... And this is old stuff, too. It's 2016 through beginning of 2016 to the end of 2017. So it's a terrible thing to have happened. Or maybe it's 2015. It's the auditor's office should be above reproach. We should not elect anybody who has any political axe to grind. And we shouldn't elect anybody who has any political favors to pay off. And if you're a Democrat in Massachusetts, you have political favors. The party machine has worked for you. If you're a Republican in Massachusetts, you have favors to pay off. The party machine has worked for you. For me, I'm running as a libertarian, but the auditor is a place where your political politics, your personal politics, your political party shouldn't matter at all. You have one job, audit the state spending.
And this is also, wasn't that sort of what, I mean, Obama promised 9 years ago, whatever it was, he said that he was going to be the most transparent.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't believe he was at all, but that's a promise we supposedly all should believe in, that a government that is transparent, that is
so
at least spending, showing how we're spending its money.
I believe that we can get back there, but I don't think we can get back there with the party structure that we have in place right now. I have many friends who are Republicans, and they are good, honest, dedicated people. I have many friends who are Democrats. Everything good I said about Republicans, I would say about them as well. These are people who are dedicated to improving the country, to doing what they think is right. Now, we all have differences of opinion about how we get there.
Not all of us, Dan.
Well, Matt and I are pretty much clones. But
no, this is differing with your opinion on there.
Ah, right. Exactly. Okay. No, it's good. It's such a clever joke that I didn't get it.
It's but late in the year.
We are all working towards this idea, at least we should be, of this idea of a United States, right? Give us your tired, your poor, yearning to be free, the promise of America. People come here because they can improve their lot. And everybody who gets involved in politics should be getting involved with the idea that we want to promote that, this essence of liberty that every American can, through hard work, improve their lot and make their children's lives better than theirs were. That they can earn enough money that they can support themselves independently. They don't require handouts. They don't require government assistance. They don't require private assistance. And that if they come up with a great idea, that they are free to entrepreneurially enhance their lives, to start a business. There are no restrictions against them selling lemonade on a street corner or opening up a food truck. All these liberties that should be guaranteed you all the time, we want to make sure that you have them all the time. So our show, we're not sure if we're going to be on RKO next week. I hope we are. We're going to try to work something out.
If you want to sponsor us, you know how to reach us.
Exactly right. However, for sure, we're going to be doing the live stream, and you can always follow us at www.libertyontheair.com. www.libertyontheair.com. Send us an email, dan@libertyontheair.com. We want to hear from you. We want you to stick with us. The live stream is going to keep going. The podcast is going to keep going.
This conversation has just begun.
Liberty is going to keep rising.
Happy New Year, Skippy. Have a great night.
Thank you.
See you down at the beach with a cooler.
Thank you.